This episode of the UAV Digest is sponsored by GoEngineer, provider of design, engineering, and 3D printing solutions for the aerospace and unmanned vehicles industries. To learn more, visit the UAVDigest.com/GoEngineer. You're listening to a special edition of the UAV Digest. We reported in episode 29 that a decision had been rendered in the case of the FAA v. Rafael Perker, also known as Trappy in the SUAS community. The FAA claimed that Perker flew a right-wing Zephyr, which they considered to be a UAS, as a commercial operation. Furthermore, that in so doing, Perker endangered life and property. The FAA fined Perker $10,000. Perker appealed, and the NTSB administrative law judge dismissed the charges on March 6, 2014. Some of the press, as well as some UAS enthusiasts, proclaimed that this decision now lets commercial drone operations begin. Well, we at the UAV Digest continue to believe that it's a little premature to draw that conclusion. There are many unanswered questions surrounding this issue, and there is an appeals process which the FAA has initiated. We expect that we'll be following this story and exploring the issues for quite some time. We began by studying the judge's decisional order, NTSB docket CP217. What we've done in this episode, as a first step, is create an audio transcript of the docket. If you've read the document, or you refer to, you can stop this episode now and catch us again in a few days for episode 31, where we'll comment on the decision. Otherwise, we offer you a transcript of the decision that you can listen to. It runs about 22 minutes, and this episode will end immediately after that. So here's a reading of the judge's decision. This is Max Flight. And this is an audio transcript of the United States of America National Transportation Safety Board Office of Administrative Law Judges, docket CP217, Michael P. Huerta, Administrator, Federal Aviation Administration, the complainant, v. Rafael Perker, the respondent. I'm actually going to start with attachment one of this document, which is the order of assessment. This is essentially the charges that the FAA made against Perker. And it sets the stage, gives you the context for what the judge says in his decision. So again, this is the order of assessment. On April 13th, 2012, you were advised through a notice of proposed assessment that the FAA proposed to assess a civil penalty in the amount of $10,000. After consideration of all available information, it appears that 1. On or about October 17, 2011, you were the pilot in command of a right-wing Zephyr-powered glider aircraft in the vicinity of the University of Virginia, UVA, Charlottesville, Virginia. 2. The aircraft referenced above is an unmanned aircraft system, UAS. 3. At all times relevant herein, you did not possess a Federal Aviation Administration pilot certificate. 4. The aircraft referenced above contained a camera mounted on the aircraft, which sent real-time video to you on the ground. 5. You operated the flight referenced above for compensation. 6. Specifically, you were being paid by Lewis Communications to supply aerial photographs and a video of the UVA campus and medical center. 7. You deliberately operated the above-described aircraft at extremely low altitudes over vehicles, buildings, people, streets, and structures. 8. Specifically, you operated the above-described aircraft at altitudes of approximately 10 feet to approximately 400 feet over the University of Virginia in a careless or reckless manner so as to endanger the life or property of another. 9. For example, you deliberately operated the above-described aircraft in the following manner. A. You operated the aircraft directly towards an individual standing on a UVA sidewalk, causing the individual to take immediate evasive maneuvers so as to avoid being struck by your aircraft. B. You operated the aircraft through a UVA tunnel containing moving vehicles. C. You operated the aircraft under a crane. D. You operated the aircraft below treetop level over a tree-lined walkway. E. You operated the aircraft within approximately 15 feet of a UVA statue. F. You operated the aircraft within approximately 50 feet of railway tracks. G. You operated the aircraft within approximately 50 feet of numerous individuals. H. You operated the aircraft within approximately 20 feet of a UVA active street containing numerous pedestrians and cars. I. You operated the aircraft within approximately 25 feet of numerous UVA buildings. J. You operated the aircraft on at least three occasions under an elevated pedestrian walkway above an active street. K. You operated the aircraft directly towards a two-story UVA building below rooftop level and made an abrupt climb in order to avoid hitting the building. L. You operated the aircraft within approximately 100 feet of an active heliport at UVA. Now back to 10. Additionally, in a careless or reckless manner so as to endanger the life or property of another, you operated the above-described aircraft at altitudes between 10 and 1,500 feet AGL when you failed to take precautions to prevent collision hazards with other aircraft that may have been flying within the vicinity of your aircraft. 11. By reason of the above, you operated an aircraft in a careless or reckless manner so as to endanger the life or property of another. By reason of the foregoing, you violated the following sections of the Federal Aviation Regulations. A. Section 91.13A, which states that no person may operate an aircraft in a careless or reckless manner so as to endanger the life or property of another. Now, therefore, it is ordered, pursuant to 49 U.S.C. 46301A1 and D2 and 46301A5, that you be and hereby are assessed a civil penalty in the amount of $10,000. Okay, now back to the body of the docket. This matter is before the board upon the appeal of Raphael Perker, herein respondent, from an order of assessment which seeks to assess respondent a civil penalty in the sum of $10,000. The order was issued against respondent by the administrator, Federal Aviation Administration, herein complainant, and that order, as provided by board rule, serves as the complaint in this action. The complaint is comprised of 11 numbered paragraphs of allegations. In the first paragraph, it is alleged that respondent acted on or about October 17, 2011, as pilot in command of, quote, a right-wing Zephyr powered glider aircraft in the vicinity of the University of Virginia, UVA, Charlottesville, Virginia, end quote. The next allegation paragraph avers to that aircraft, quote, is an unmanned aircraft system, UAS, unquote. It is further alleged that respondent's flight operation was for compensation, in that payment was received for video and photographs taken during that flight. As a consequence of those allegations and the remaining factual allegations set forth in the complaint, it is charged that respondent acted in violation of the provisions of Part 91, Section 91.13A, Federal Aviation Regulation, FARS. Respondent has filed a motion to dismiss, seeking dismissal upon the assertion that the complaint is subject to dismissal as a matter of law in the absence of a valid rule for application of FAR regulatory authority over model aircraft flight operations. Complainant has submitted a response in opposition, arguing that the complaint is not deficient in that, as the non-moving party, the allegations of the complaint must be assumed true, and the complaint evaluated in manner most favorable to complainant. This argument is premature. Respondent's motion does not challenge the sufficiency of the complaint and stipulates therein that solely for purposes of this motion, the complaint's allegations are to be assumed as true. Any dispute and argument as to the efficacy of the complaint must be deferred pending resolution of the threshold issue of complainant's authority to exercise FAR regulatory action over model aircraft operations. 14 CFR Part 1, Section 1.1, states as the FAR definition of the term, quote, aircraft, unquote, a, quote, device that is used or intended to be used for flight in the air, unquote. And Part 91, Section 91.1, states that part, quote, prescribes rules governing operation of aircraft, unquote. Premised upon those FAR provisions and those of 49 U.S.C. Section 40102A6, complainant argues that respondent was operating a device or contrivance designed for flight in the air and therefore subject to complainant's regulatory authority. The term contrivance is used in 49 U.S.C. Section 40102A6 definition, quote, aircraft, unquote, whereas Part 1, Section 1.1 defines an, quote, aircraft, unquote, as a, quote, device, unquote. However, the terms are basically synonymous, as both refer to an apparatus intended or used for flight. It is argued by complainant that under either definition of the term, quote, aircraft, unquote, the definition includes within its scope a model aircraft. That argument is, however, contradicted in that complainant FAA has heretofore discriminated in his interpretation slash application of those definitions. Complainant has historically, in their policy notices, modified the term, quote, aircraft, unquote, by prefixing the word, quote, model, unquote, to distinguish the device slash contrivance being considered. By affixing the word, quote, model, unquote, to, quote, aircraft, unquote, the reasonable inference is that complainant FAA intended to distinguish and exclude model aircraft from either or both of the aforesaid definitions of, quote, aircraft, unquote. To accept complainant's interpretive argument would lead to a conclusion that those definitions include as an aircraft all types of devices slash contrivances intended for or used for flight in the air. The extension of that conclusion would then result in the risible argument that a flight in the air of, e.g., a paper aircraft or a toy balsa wood glider would subject the, quote, operator, unquote, to the regulatory provisions of FAA Part 91, Section 91.13A. Complainant's contention that a model aircraft is an, quote, aircraft, unquote, as defined in either the statutory or regulatory definition, is diminished on observation that FAA historically has not required model aircraft operators to comply with requirements of FAR Part 21, Section 21.171 at SEEK, and FAR Part 47, Section 47.3, which require airworthiness and registration certification for an aircraft. The reasonable inference is not that FAA has overlooked the requirements, but rather that FAA has distinguished model aircraft as a class excluded from the regulatory and statutory definitions. While complainant states in his SIR reply brief that he is not seeking herein to enforce FAA policy statements slash notices concerning model aircraft operation, a consideration of those policy notices is informative. Complainant FAA issued Advisory Circular AC-91-57 entitled, quote, Model Aircraft Operating Standards, unquote, stating the purpose as, quote, encouraging voluntary compliance with safety standards for model aircraft operators, unquote. That complainant FAA issued an AC urging model aircraft operators to voluntarily comply with the herein stated, quote, safety standards, unquote, is incompatible with the argument that model aircraft operators, by application of the statutory and regulatory definition, quote, aircraft, unquote, were simultaneously subject to mandatory compliance with the FARs and subject to FAR regulatory enforcement. That FAA has not deemed every device used for flight in the air to be within the FAR Part 1, Section 1.1 definition, and thus subject to provisions of Part 91 FARs, is illustrated on consideration of the FAA regulatory treatment of ultralights. An ultralight, a device used for flight in the air, is nevertheless governed by the provisions of Part 103 FARs, and whereupon meeting the criteria stated in Section 103.1 is defined not as an, quote, aircraft, unquote, but as an, quote, ultralight vehicle, unquote, subject only to the particular regulatory provisions of Part 103 FARs. It is concluded that as complainant has not issued an enforceable FAR regulatory rule governing model aircraft operation, has historically exempted model aircraft from the statutory FAR definitions of, quote, aircraft, unquote, by relegating model aircraft operations to voluntary compliance with the guidance expressed in AC 91-57, respondent's model aircraft operation was not subject to FAR regulation and enforcement. As previously noted, complainant has disclaimed that, in this litigation, he is seeking to enforce FAA UAS policy. However, the complaint asserts that the, quote, aircraft, unquote, being operated by respondent, quote, is an unmanned aircraft system, UAS, unquote. Since the classification of UAS does not appear in the FARs, it is necessary to examine the FAA policy for the existence of a rule imposing regulatory authority concerning UAS operations. FAA issued on September 16, 2005, Memorandum AFS-400, UAS Policy 05-01, which was subsequently canceled, revised, and reissued on March 13, 2008, as Interim Operational Approval Guidance 08-01. The stated purpose of those memoranda was to issue guidance, not to the general public, but rather as internal guidance to be used by the appropriate FAA personnel. Significantly, both memoranda specifically eschew any regulatory authority of the expressed policy, stating respectively that, quote, this policy is not meant as a substitute for any regulatory process, unquote. As policy statements of an agency are not, aside from the fact that the guidance policy therein expressed is stated as for internal FAA use, binding upon the general public. And as any regulatory effect is disclaimed, these policy memoranda cannot be and are not found as establishing a valid rule for classifying a model aircraft as an UAS, or for furnishing basis for assertion of FAR regulatory authority vis-a-vis model aircraft operations. On February 13, 2007, FAA Notice 07-01 was published in the Federal Register with the stated purpose slash action of serving as, quote, notice of policy, opportunity for feedback, unquote. Under the section captioned, quote, policy statement, unquote, it is stated that for an UAS to operate in the National Airspace System, NAS, specific authority is required, and that, pertinent here, for civil aircraft, that authority is a special airworthiness certificate. It excludes from that requirement, quote, modelers, unquote, recreational slash sport users, and the operational safety authority is iterated as AC 91-57. It further provides that when the model aircraft is used for, quote, business purposes, unquote, AC 91-57 is not applicable, and by such use the model aircraft is deemed an UAS, requiring special airworthiness certification. In my view, the iteration of the authority of AC 91-57, even though restricted here, undercuts the contention that model aircraft were considered as aircraft as defined in the FARs, or the code, and subject to Part 91 FAR regulation. Notice 07-01 expressly states that its action slash purpose is to set forth the current FAA policy for UAS operations, and the requirements are stated, as noted above, under the section captioned, quote, policy statement, unquote. As self-defined as a statement of policy, it cannot be considered as establishing a rule or enforceable regulation, since, as discussed supra, policy statements are not binding on the general public. As Notice 07-01 was published in the Federal Register, even though stated as a, quote, notice of policy, unquote, it could be argued that it could be considered as legislative rulemaking purported to set out new mandatory requirements slash limitations requiring public compliance. Notice 07-01 does not, however, meet the criteria for valid legislative rulemaking, as it was not issued as a notice of proposed rulemaking, an NPRM, and if intended to establish a substantive rule, it did not satisfy the requirements of 5 U.S.C. Section 553D, which requires publication of notice not less than 30 days before the effective date. as it is shown as being issued on February 6, 2007, and published as a notice of policy February 13, 2007, it fails this requirement. It is significant that upon comparison of the allegations in the complaint with the statements put forward in the policy statement section of Notice 07-01, that the allegations made in complaint paragraphs 2, 5, and 6 mirror the policy notice provisions. That fact contradicts complainant's assertion that Policy Notice 07-01 plays no part in this litigation. Those allegations are also found as being inconsistent with the assertion that model aircraft were always included in the FAR Part 1, Section 1.1 definition, and thus subject to Part 91 FAR regulation. If so, it was unnecessary to allege, as in paragraphs 5 and 6, flight for compensation slash payment, which appears to be for the purpose of reclassifying respondent's model aircraft as a UAS with the terminology of Notice 07-01. Congress enacted the FAA Modernization and Reauthorization Reform Act of 2012 and therein addressed in Subtitle B, Unmanned Aircraft Systems. This legislation postdates the events at issue herein. However, the language of provisions of the 2012 Act is instructive. The 2012 Act requires FAA, through the Secretary of Transportation, to develop a plan for integration of civil UAS into the NAS, specifying that the plan contain recommendations for rulemaking to define acceptable standards for operation and certification of civil UAS. The 2012 Act further, in the subsection Rulemaking, specifies a date for publication of, quote, 1, a final rule on small UAS, unquote, to permit their operation in the NAS. The 2012 Act also contains a provision stating that the administrator, FAA, quote, may not promulgate any rule or regulation regarding a model aircraft, end quote, where the model aircraft satisfies the criteria stated therein. It is a reasonable inference that this language shows that, at the time of enactment of the 2012 Act, the legislators were of the view there were no effective rules or regulations regulating model aircraft operation. Elsewise, other than calling for enactment of such, the 2012 Act would have called for action to repeal, amend, or modify the existing rules or regulations and not require a date for issuance of a final rule. I find that, 1. Neither the Part 1, Section 1.1, or the 49 U.S.C. Section 40102A6 definitions of, quote, aircraft, unquote, are applicable to or include a model aircraft within their respective definition. 2. Model aircraft operation by respondent was subject only to the FAA's requested voluntary compliance with the safety guidelines stated in AC 91-57. 3. As policy notices 05-01 and 08-01 were issued and intended for internal guidance for FAA personnel, they are not a jurisdictional basis for asserting Part 91 FAR enforcement authority on model aircraft operations. 4. Policy Notice 07-01 does not establish a jurisdictional basis for asserting Part 91, Section 91.13A enforcement on respondents' model aircraft operation, as the notice is either A, as it states, a policy notice slash statement, and therefore non-binding, or B, an invalid attempt of legislative rulemaking, which fails for noncompliance with the requirement of 5 U.S.C. Section 553 rulemaking. 5. Specifically, that at the time of respondents' model aircraft operations, as alleged herein, there was no enforceable FAA rule or FAR regulation applicable to model aircraft or for classifying model aircraft as a UAS. Upon the findings and conclusions reached, I hold that respondent's motion to dismiss must be affirmed. It is ordered that, 1. Respondent's motion to dismiss be and hereby is granted. 2. Complainant's order of assessment be and hereby is vacated and set aside. 3. This proceeding be and is terminated with prejudice. Entered into the 6th day of March, 2014, at Denver, Colorado. Patrick G. Garrity, Judge. This has been an audio transcript of NTSB Docket CP-217. Michael Huerta Administrator, Federal Aviation Administration, complainant V. Raphael Perker responded. Thank you for listening.